Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Raptors post-game show after the playoffs brought to you by Yahoo Sports. My name is Iman, and today I'm joined by Savannah Hamilton, who will be joining us any second now.
Oh, I'm here, girl. I'm here.
I don't know why I can't see you on my screen. In the chat, can you guys let me know? Am I looking at something?
I see you now.
All right. Perfect. There we go. Got it. It took a while, but we're there. Kind of like the Raptors in this series. It was a bit of a rough start, but then I got there for a little bit. Hopefully we end a little bit better than they did. Coming to you guys live right after game six, which was a bit of a heartbreaker, but still, I mean, there was a lot of positives to take away from this series, a lot of positives going into next season. But I got to ask you, what happened in this game? What went wrong? It looked like the Raptors had all of the momentum following game five. What happened here?
Come on, where do we begin? I don't even know where to begin. Still getting over my heartbreak with this game, but to be quite honest, I'm proud of the guys, so we'll get there in a bit, I'm sure. But what happened? Well, if you look at the first quarter, the Raptors, they came in. It was really like I always look at who controls the tone and the pace first, because basketball is ultimately the biggest game of runs. Who gets ahead? Who kind of leads the charge? I thought the Raptors had the edge right in the very beginning. And then, of course, you know, Tyrese Maxey and James Harden, they kind of come out a lot stronger halfway through the first quarter, kind of pushing the 76ers, gaining them momentum. Raptors kind of towards the end of the quarter get some sort of control, and then kind of rinse, wash, repeat in the second quarter. Then boom, we're at halftime. The Raptors are trailing by 1 point. I go downstairs to go get some snacks and beverages. I get caught up in a mosh pit down there, and I come back upstairs to the media spot, and we're trailing by 10. So I was like, oh, what happened? I asked my friend Blake Murphy, and he told me that, essentially James Harden went off. Like he was already having a great game. And I remember watching the first half, like he was having a great game. Like he hasn't been there all series long. Like, let's keep it real. Like, this is not the James Harden that we've seen all series. And he decided to have a great game six. And so, you know, it just was a matter of lack of defensive coverage on him, especially coming out of the half, that really kind of set the Raptors back to such a gap that they couldn't recover from. And then I think it was almost panic basketball. They're like, okay, we're down 10. Oh, crap, we're down 15, down 20. What are we doing now? And then, of course, it started to get chippy, right? We saw Joel Embiid smack somebody in the face, like Pascal. And, like, we saw a lot more vocality. And I find that when the 76ers start getting emotional and chippy with the Raptors, are still finding their way to respond. And I think that's just the problem with a young team, is that some mature teams, they could take those emotions and turn that into motivation on the court. Younger teams take their emotions and they say, well, let me prove something. But they do too much and they start playing something I like to call superhero basketball, where one guy tries to put the team on his back. Boucher had a really great game, though. I'll give that to him. And then the 76ers, they kind of started running with it. Like they controlled the rest of the second half. So got to give it to them. They really showed out. You know, Maxey played well. Embiid did his thing, And Harden played, finally, like, potentially a playoff player.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. It seemed like the top-end talent, Maxey, Embiid, Harden, and Tobias, so their top four guys really came out in today's game. We hadn't had a game where all four of them maybe came out for a while. And I also think that the Raptors' defense, at least what I saw when you were stuck in the mosh pit, I mean, there was probably more action going on down there in the in the concessions than there was on the defensive end for the Raptors there. It felt like a little, I don't, I mean, I have been, if you read my tweets, you know that I've been going at the officials kind of hard, but it definitely seemed like guys, and I think it comes back to the maturity and the youth of this team, where they get caught up a little bit in the calls. They stop playing as aggressive on D because they're scared of getting that third foul. I think for OG, he got two quick ones, and we saw a little bit more of a timid OG Anunoby on the defensive end, which is not something that you would say. He's had a fantastic series against Harden. Did a fantastic job on him all series long. And today you saw a little bit more of like a timid Precious and a timid OG on the defensive end. And it felt very unfamiliar to what we saw, at least what worked for the Raptors in the two games that they were able to win there. And it's unfortunate, but I think I'm fine with this game. I've made my peace with this game a little bit, because in those first two games, it very much felt like the Raptors were getting outclassed without playing Raptor-style basketball. Right? They were making their threes, but they weren't defending at all. And it felt like they were getting initially they were in games one and two. After that, they hadn't, I don't think they've made a three in what feels like forever. Scotty had a nice one today. But at least in like the first two games, I was like, their half court offense is really good and their defense is abysmal. And then the two wins happen, and I'm like, oh, their defense is phenomenal. And I actually have the numbers here. In wins, the Raptors have a defensive rating of 98.4. That is stellar. That is stellar. They held the Sixers to 88 points, and the Sixers had 16 free throws. In losses, their defensive rating is 130.5.
Yikes.
Right? And that is the difference. Like, it's wild to me that you can have one team that can play defense that locked down, and then the same team be one of the worst defenses of all time, essentially, with a 130 defensive rating there.
Yeah.
What do you think was, do you agree with me in that, like, some of the reffing, I think, not just like, oh, the referees are controlling this game, but you see it get in the player's head at the very least a little bit, where they start to be more timid on the defensive end. They're not trying to close out as hard because they don't want to get called for anything. Do you think that maybe played a part in it, or do you think there's something else that really points to the lack of defense in the losses especially?
I mean, do you want to talk about the series as a whole or this game tonight?
I guess it's a little bit, it's a little different in both of them. We can touch on tonight and maybe look at the series as a whole.
Okay. Yeah. So tonight's game, definitely lack of defense. Even though I was in the mosh pit, and the mosh pit was definitely a more defensive presence than what was on the court there at one point. It was definitely like, when I did come back and watch the rest of the second half, like, it was just like recovery, playing from behind. They're always a step too slow. It seemed like there's better transition on the 76ers end, that they were getting anything they wanted at the rim as well. And so when I think about, you know, just what happened tonight and like breaking this game down, you know, it was definitely a defensive collapse. And I think, yes, sure, the refs had something to do with it. The refs have been not the greatest. They're never great with the Raptors. So it's almost like you got to like factor that in. And I get it. Like, it's so easy to point fingers to them, but it's also kind of like what you expect in the playoffs. And so with that in mind, you have to understand that, like, that's just part of the game at this point. So
you have to play for it for sure.
Exactly. And not to mention the 76ers were complaining when the Raptors won about the refs too. So does Joel get superstar calls? Absolutely. Was something called, I believe, OG had the ball at one point, one possession in the second quarter, and it wasn't they didn't call a travel and they didn't call a foul, but he slid on the ground just magically with the ball. And then on the other side of on the other end, I believe Joel Embiid went up for like an awkward shot. He fell down and foul on the Raptors, even though it was a pretty clean, like, hands up play or possession, for defensively for the Raptors. So yeah, does the calls get into this team's head? Yeah. A lot of the guys are like 23, 24. Like, this team is very, very young. And when you have bad refs, like, stuff like that does get to them. Chippiness on the court does get to them. All the things that are said to them in between, like, even, you know, Doc Rivers storming the floor and the Gary Trent Jr. end up hitting those technical free throws. Like that was a great like little momentum shift for the Raptors, but they didn't capitalize it on it really. They just kind of like, okay, well, yay, we got maybe one call in our favor. But you can't cry yourself a river. Like you still got the job done in the last game without Fred VanVleet. And I think that's something that, you know, needs to be talked about is the fact that Fred VanVleet was missed today. I think a lot of people were talking about how Fred was not missed as much in that last game and better, maybe there's better matchups presented because of that. You know, he is a shorter guard. He's actually like around my height and I'm like 5'11", is almost 6 foot. And like, and so like it was hard for him to match up, and Tyrese Maxey would have been the best matchup for him, but he was just too slow earlier in the series to keep up with Maxey. But that being said, you can't replace his leadership quality and him being a floor general and what that brings to this team in times like tonight, right? He could have, I felt like there was times that they could have called a timeout maybe earlier or settled the guys down. But there's only so much even then, like Nick Nurse can say in a team huddle, like, what are you going to say? Huddle up and be like, hey guys, relax. And then they go back out there and play frantic. Like I thought that Scotty Barnes, like we all love Scotty Barnes. I know we all love him, but like there's definitely times when Scotty Barnes, like, he played frantically on defense. He was jumping at everything and he was biting everything. And like, no, this you know how to play better defense than this. And so I think it was just a panic defense that we saw, not intentionally, like they didn't want to play. They tried their hardest. They really did. You saw that. It was just a matter of the emotions getting caught up in their head. They're not playing to their defensive scheme and playing frantically. And then 76ers were capitalizing on it because, as you said, all four of their guys were like on point tonight. And, you know, I'm sure they came into this game being like, 76ers, they knew that if they lost this game, they would lose in the seventh game.
Oh, I feel
like they played tonight like this was game seven for them.
Yeah.
And the Raptors played like this was game six. That's what happened.
Yeah. And I completely agree. Love Scotty. Have to preface that so people don't get mad, but he definitely had some moments where, and this is why this series is like, was really important. I'm glad the Raptors were a playoff team. It was so important for them to close out the season in the way that they did. And like, it was incredibly impressive for them to close out the season in the way they did. And to have this first round matchup is because these are the learning moments that you have. You know, we've seen Precious, we've seen Scotty kind of get caught up a little bit in moments at times. And this playoff run was not important because we thought the Raptors would make a finals run this season. This is important because we want the Raptors to make a finals run in the future, right? It's the growing of a team. It's to hopefully become what the Celtics have this season in the next year or the next few years. And we can talk, I see a comment here from Mark about hopefully the Raptors adding some shooting in the offseason, and we can talk about some of the offseason moves that are necessary. But I want to focus a little bit more on this game today. We talked about some of the yips that some of the guys had, certainly, especially on the defensive end. And having a steady hand like Freddie there, steady Freddie, would have been so nice, especially considering the shooting that the Raptors really needed tonight. But I want to talk about some of the positives, because there were so many positives, not just in this game, but in this series as a whole. But let's start tonight. You mentioned it there with Chris Boucher. What did you see from him? Because to me, he just had a fantastic game.
If Chris Boucher was on another NBA team, he'd be a starter. That's what I saw. He's been showing that consistently throughout the second half of the season. I think in the first half of the season, we saw a bit more of a scattered Boucher taking shots that were not to his nature. Tonight, he came out and he not only played the game that he's been developing, he's grown so much as a player this season in terms of, you know, kind of being consistent with his three-point shooting, but then also finding the appropriate times to shoot that three. We kind of saw that a little bit tonight, but mainly we saw him fight. We saw him go out and throw the first punch, initiate contact. The moment he stepped on the floor, he was like all up in everybody's face and like letting his presence be known. He was taking it to the rim. He was going up hard through contact, not getting calls, not really letting it faze him too much, and just keeping it going. Like, he was definitely shining out there. He definitely stood out tonight to me in terms of his contributions on the floor. Like, you know, both. Mainly on the offensive end, because there definitely was team defensive lapses. But I do think that he, you know, tried to do his best with the assignments he was given on the defensive end as well. But offensively, he played just very, very tough hardball.
Yeah, love it. I mean, the cuts that he was making all series long, just mm-hmm. brilliant. Knew exactly where to be at all times. Was big on the glass in moments as well. Just so much heart. Someone else who had so much heart that we would be remiss if we didn't mention is Pascal Siakam, who really showed himself to be the team's star this series. What did you see from Pascal Siakam that you really liked?
It's funny you say the team star this series, because the first two games he was not like that. We've been having a lot of conversations about his role throughout the series, and I think we did see game three to this game, you know, the Siakam, the all NBA Siakam that we're used to seeing. Did he have the impact, that 40 point type of game that he could have probably had tonight? No. Do we need it? Absolutely, we needed a game like that from him tonight. But it kind of goes to show you the gaps that we have in this team. It's not necessarily on him in particular, but I do think that Siakam is in, it kind of opens up the conversation of the category of player that Siakam is in. Is he an NBA superstar or is he a star? Like, where is he? He has moments where you think this guy could go really far in this league. He could potentially get an MVP. I totally see it someday in the future. It's not me just trying to put a hot take. I totally see him potentially getting an MVP someday in the league. Exactly. Yeah. It's not too far-fetched. But games like tonight, we need to see that. Like, we need to see somebody put the team on their back. And I don't care if you're taking 100 shots and miss 50 of them. Or, well, that's actually a pretty good percentage. But, like, I don't care.
Do that, actually.
Take 100 shots and only make 30 of them. If you're ending the game with, like, 65 points or something like that, like, that is your star. That's the guy that's going to get the job done and get you the win. Like, that year that Kawhi Leonard was a part of our team, you know, the rest of the team, they knew how to play team basketball very well. So inserting a star like Kawhi Leonard was, yeah, Kawhi played maybe a little bit more, like he took like 39 shots in that game 7 series against Philadelphia.
And he didn't have a great percentage.
And he had an awful percentage, but they still won and he still hit the game winning shot. And it was like things like that where you're just not afraid to take the bad shots, to take the shots. And I think that's what we need to see from Siakam. And so even though he still had a good game, it just wasn't the great game that we needed.
And, you know, I like you saying that because so Nick Nurse had comments about, you know, Siakam making the right reads. And I think that part of what you're saying, and I agree with it, is also about like this team needing more, right? It feels like Siakam just needs a little, like, just some spacing, just someone if he can pass in the corner, he can get a three. But also it's so funny that you mentioned that, and you mentioned Kawhi Leonard, because when the third quarter started, or when the third quarter ended and I saw the Raptors just down a lot, the first thought I had in my mind was game 6 versus the Milwaukee Bucks. And when the Raptors were down, what was it, like 24 points or something like that against the Milwaukee Bucks, and it was just like the Kawhi Leonard show. And he just closed out. The Raptors went on a 26-4 run, I think it was, to get a 5-point lead in the end. And it's just like, oh, like that's what a superstar does in those moments. And that was the first thought that I had. And I was like, well, the Raptors don't have anybody like that on the roster this year. And I think that there's growth that I think Pascal needs to make in his game. One of them that I'll always mention is that 3-point shot. He doesn't need to be Stephen Curry, but I think the willingness to take it, and also making sure the defenses want to guard you out there, right? Because that's what spacing is all about. And so I think that can unlock a whole other element to his game. In fact, last season, when people were really down on his game, to me, it was more so that his 3-point shot just wasn't there. He had a year of his career. And I think that makes such a major difference in opening up Pascal's game. And I also think other guys being able to make their shots, and him trusting that, and so that he can make those right passes to the corner. And you know, we saw it work with Danny Green in the corner and Tyrese Maxey in the corner. And we saw how much space that gave James Harden to attack, and that gave Joel Embiid down low as well. So it's really interesting to see what the Raptors can do in the offseason. But I have I see here that before game 5, when the Sixers were still up 3-1, Kyle Lowry texted Danny Green to say, "See you next weekend." Assuming that the team that's up 3-1 was going to close out, and Danny Green believes that jinxed the Sixers. So is Kyle Lowry trying some reverse jinx there?
Maybe Lowry's still a ride or die Raptor after all. Maybe. That's awesome. That's funny.
Yeah, that's great. Looking through some of the questions and comments on here. Harden starting aggressive, brought in doubles and opened up the corners. Certainly, certainly. And I saw Will Liu tweet about this quite a bit. The Raptors really weren't switching. When Kem Birch, they weren't switching, so they didn't put the length of like Kem Birch on James Harden, and they kept Gary on him, and Harden was like, no problem, I'll breeze right by. And it was really interesting to me that that was a strategy. I get it. It wasn't Precious. I think if Precious was there, he probably would have switched those screens more. Nick Nurse would have called for those screens to be switched. It was interesting to me that they were like, hey, James Harden is not going to kill us. And then James Harden continued to kill the Raptors. And it was like, ah, James Harden is not going to kill us. And it's like, no, it's happening. We're watching it.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Right now.
This is it.
Can I ask, is there a surprise that you've had this series? It could be the series whole, not just this game. But has one player in particular surprised you? It could be someone that we've already mentioned or someone new.
Oh, that's a good question. Who has surprised me? I feel like we got a lot of what I expected out of this team, out of this series. Maybe it's Scotty Barnes. Maybe you have to give it to the rookie of the year. Like, I know it's such a generic low-hanging fruit answer, but like, he's a rookie and he's playing and we hold him to the standards of Pascal some nights, I swear. And when he was like hurt with that ankle injury, who was in a boot, the Raptors lost. And like, it just goes to show you just how integral Scotty Barnes is on this team and what his role has been and what he's carved himself out to be, both on the offensive end and the defensive end. And like, even tonight, you can't tell me that his ankle is still fully healed. Like, he definitely was playing on a sore ankle still, because he retweaked it in the last game too. So, you know, these guys are definitely injury ridden. And I think Scotty Barnes, like, him being such a rookie and composed as well, that's actually something that really surprised me and really stood out to me. He doesn't complain about these ref calls. You rarely see him react. He might do a 1-2 like this, but he doesn't really do that much after that. He doesn't say anything.
He'll get back on defense. Unlike some other guys, he'll get back on defense.
Unlike some other guys. But for sure, yeah. So I think Scott, I would have to give the surprise to Scotty.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I thought that, especially in game one, I was like, okay, these are a few guys' first time in the playoffs. Fred, Pascal, they've been there before. OG has been there before. But Scotty hadn't. And what we saw was Scotty almost have a triple-double. If he didn't get injured, he could have very well had a triple-double in his first playoff game ever, when half of the team looked like they had a bit of the nervous tummies in that game. So having him come out there like that, and yeah, he had some rookie moments tonight. I'll say it, you mentioned it on the defensive end, he had some rookie moments, he was jumping out a lot, but he showed so much composure and like the threes that he was able to hit, just his ability to just go up with so much force, whether it be at the basket or taking the shots that he needs to take or guarding whatever assignment is in front of him, he was really doing everything. And sometimes you forget that he's a rookie watching him. And someone else that I sometimes forget is so young is Precious Achiuwa. So just thinking into next season while watching Precious, anytime I get in front of a microphone, I joke that like I compare Precious to my niece who's 2 years old, because every time I see her, she like grows like exponentially, and I'm like, how do you speak in full sentences now? Like, how have you grown this much since I last saw you yesterday? And I feel like that's Precious Achiuwa. Like, every time I watch him on the basketball court, I'm like, you know how to do that now? You can, oh, you can hit threes now? Oh, you can put the ball on the floor now? Oh, you can, like, just every time that you see him, he just grows so much. It's like the same, it's fun to watch. And so to me, like, looking at Scotty and looking at Precious, those are the two guys I'm really excited to see what they can bring next season, considering how much they've just grown over the course of the season. Do you have some guys you're really looking at to see what they can do next season, because you're really excited with what they showed either in this playoffs or towards the end of the year?
Oh man, I don't even know where to, like, literally this team is so young. I could go through every single guy on this roster right now. And even that includes Fred, that includes Pascal, because even Fred VanVleet himself was stepping into a new leadership role for the first time. He was learning how to be a leader this year. You know how hard that is? And he did it with such grace. And so next season, he's stepping right on into that leadership role right away, knowing his tone, knowing his voice. And that's so powerful. So that, like, that's Fred. Right? We can go down the entire roster. Obviously, me working a lot with the Raptors 905 and, like, most of the Raptors bench have been at some point in the 905. I could go through every single one of those guys, including the maybe the not so favorites, and just tell you, like, these guys are going to grow. They're all so, so young. That's why, like, I see, like, the comments come out on Twitter being like, what's this guy doing playing right now, or trade him? I'm like, you don't get it. This guy goes down to the G League and drops an insane amount of points on any given night. Any of those guys can. And it just hasn't translated to the NBA yet. But when it does, which is what the off seasons are for, which is also part of it is also opportunity, because you forget that the Raptors are stacked with guys right now too. Like, they will eventually get the opportunity that they need at the right time. And that's when you're going to see, like, the progress that they've made. Because I'm sorry, but playing 2 minutes after, like, when a game's done isn't getting proper game playing time or minutes, and that's just the bench. So, you know, I talk about the leaders, I talk about the bench, like, if I think about, like, the guys kind of in between, like the Bouchers and, like, the Precious, like, you know, Precious, you've mentioned it right there, like, retweet exactly what you said. Like, he's went from pretty much doing next to nothing with the Heat. Like, he was always an athlete, always a good athlete, but he to opening up his role at the Raptors and going to All-Star Weekend and, like, Rising Stars Challenge and all that, like, he's just grown tremendously. It's like it's such a pleasure to watch before our own eyes. And and I think that, like, over the offseason, like, there's definitely going to be some roster decisions made still, but I'm looking forward to seeing what this team has for us next season, because now one year mature, let's go.
They're going to be so scary. Like, I kind of, so in years past, you had the DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, those were teams competing every single year. DeMar and Kyle needed to compete. And you had, you know, Pascal and Fred come through the G League, and like Norm, and, you know, your younger guys come through the G League and come into this team as bench players, really. Like, the entire starting lineup at one point or another has been bench players and has replaced that. And what the Raptors do so brilliantly is then replace the bench. And in the future, we're going to be talking about this team as Precious and all of these guys on the bench now being starters. And what we see this season is, Fred and Pascal are ready to compete right now. They're champions. But they're still young and growing into their roles. Very different than Kyle and DeMar, who had been in those primary roles for a while at that point. They're growing into their roles. So this entire team this year was a development year while still competing, while still being a 5 seed. Which is why this playoffs were just like, it was house money. Because no matter what happened, you recognize, like, this is a growing moment for Pascal. This is a growing moment for Fred, his first time as a leader. This is a growing moment for OG Anunoby. We saw him be a primary option at the start of the season, which is something he hadn't done in his career before. Growing moment for Precious, for everybody on the team, Utah, Svee, all of the guys from start to finish, all of the guys on the team. This is a growing and a learning moment. Delano Banton, I mean, think about just, like, the first moment he comes in, his first shot being a half-court shot. Like, all of these guys getting their first moments and it just being so special. And this isn't the end. This is just the beginning for absolutely all of them. And next season, they'll have the experience. They'll have the heartbreak. This is the punch in the mouth that was Kyle Lowry's block shot against Paul Pierce in Game 7 in 2014. This is that for them. So next season, they'll come back so much better. But someone who was a part of their early teams, but not a fan favorite, not someone who was growing with this team either, not one of the young guys, but just an old man who had higher aspirations than the Toronto Raptors. Goran Dragic, who, you know, his higher aspirations meant that he played, what, two less games. He got swept in the playoffs despite being on a quote-unquote super team that was destined to be in the finals. He decided to laugh today at the Raptors, this young, scrappy team playing better basketball than his team ever did this season. What are your thoughts on what we got from Goran Dragic and his snide comment via tweets today?
He has to be just trolling. He's pulling like a Joel Embiid. He has to just be trolling, yeah, because
for sure.
I talked to him in the beginning of the season during like marketing day. He told me that he took back those comments. It's not what he meant, blah, 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 blah. And now like him doing the whole crying laugh emoji thing. I'm like, bro, like, I know you're just trolling because you're just doing it to get a reaction. And you know, bro, solved. Like, here we are talking about it right now, let alone all of Raptors Twitter who are going at him right now, rightfully so. But yeah, it's like he got swept. You can't say anything. You were on arguably roster wise the best team in the East and you guys got swept. So you can't say anything. And you were in a lower seed and the Raptors were higher seed.
You were a play-in team, okay? Your higher aspiration was from being a 5 seed to a play-in team that got swept. We don't want to hear it, Goran.
And also, I think the Raptors have more promise than Brooklyn next year. Like, that just goes without saying. So it's like higher aspirations, or you just didn't want to be in Canada? Like, what's the deal? Like, what do you mean higher aspirations exactly? Because clearly things are different on the court if that's what you're talking about. Also, I don't know why he's even talking. He's towards the end of his career. He's towards the end of his own career right now.
He was trying to ring chase and found his way from a 5 seed to a 9 seed. And he's trying to make himself feel better, but we're not going to have it, Goran. We're not going to have it. So we've got a question here from Ersan who asks, does Scotty become a 23-plus point scorer next year?
I see it. That's not far-fetched at all. I would nothing would surprise me with Scotty Barnes. The only thing that might surprise me with Scotty Barnes next year if he gets MVP of the league or something. That would be insane. But like, I see him potentially being up for
Finals MVP. Finals MVP.
Finals MVP.
Pascal's gonna win MVP.
Right?
We said that at the top. Pascal is our MVP.
I didn't say next year. whoa.
I'm saying next year for both.
Okay, we're gonna manifest this. but like nothing would surprise me with Scotty. I would totally see Scotty being like scoring over 23 points per game next season. Like he has an entire offseason to grow. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Think about from the day he got drafted to summer league to preseason to where he is now, rookie of the year. His growth chart was like this. Like it was like a straight line up. And yeah, he had like the little rookie moments that we've talked about, but like now next year, like those rookie moments just don't happen nearly as often. Like every player makes mistakes, but yeah, he's going to be – I think you build the team around him, right? Like, that's what's going to happen.
In the words of Blue Ivy, he's never seen a ceiling in his whole life.
There you go.
We don't have to put one on him. And that's the thing with all of these guys. Like, there's all this talk about what can OG Anunoby do next season. And it's here's my thing. Enjoy what they are right now instead of worrying about what they can become next season or what they'll do in 5 years. We've got a really, really special and talented team. And any expectation we've put on Pascal, he's absolutely shattered. Any expectation that anybody in the history of anybody has put on Fred VanVleet, he's absolutely broken and shattered. And the same thing goes for half of this roster, if not more. So let's just enjoy them for what they are. They're the weirdest team in basketball. It's a bunch of 6'9 guys with 7 feet wingspan. They may give up. I see a lot of conversation in the chat here about giving up a bunch of corner threes. And hey, when they're at their best defensively, we see what they're able to do. And that was the 88 points that the Philadelphia 76ers scored. They can part of why the Raptors play the aggressive defensive style that they do is because they are so long and they are so quick and they're so athletic. So the idea is the idea is that hopefully they can rotate out. They can get there quick enough. Their length can disrupt the shot still. It is a form of basketball where if you're a step late or you're a little bit slow, yes, it's going to look really bad. There are nights where it's going to look really bad. But when you're on, we've seen this team be locked down defensively. They don't need another center. The lack of center is not a bug. It is a fixture of this offense. It is a feature, I mean, of this defense. It is a feature of this team. Can they get a backup big? Sure. But what the Raptors are doing right now is building the team of the future. It may look weird. It may look janky at times. But when it clicks, we've seen how special it can be. So we can all calm down about that and really hope that next season they can improve their three-point shot. You know, something I think, I'm just going through these comments right now. I'm trying to calm Raptor fans down a little bit. One of the things about the Raptors is that, yes, they don't have any shooters, and it would be really nice to have some shooters. But what the Raptors believe is that they can't teach a guy to be 6'9". They can't teach a guy to have a 7-foot wingspan. They can't teach a guy to be one of the most athletic players in basketball and like a Precious Achiuwa. But they can't teach guys how to shoot. We saw that. OG came into the season. OG came into the league not being considered a three-point shooter. And in his rookie season, he was lights out. Precious Achiuwa shot one three-pointer last season. Shot one three-pointer, not even made.
And missed it.
And this season, 37% three-point shooter on over 100 attempts in the season. So, like, the Raptors believe that they can teach it. And let me tell you something. When you have 6'9 guys that are the ones shooting it, when you have 6'9 guys that are the ones making those passes, they can see over everybody. And this team is the team of the future. They're really, really special, but we have to give them some time to grow. And I think that's what this season showed us, is that they're not there yet, but they're very close to being there, and hopefully they get there soon. Anything you want to add to that? Or
just the guys that we haven't even talked about, like Champagne, Isaac Bonga, bench right now. Like, I talked to Masai about this earlier in the season conference. I asked him, I was like, what are you doing with like the 905 talent, the two-way players and the assignment players right now? Because they're ridiculously talented. And, you know, like, how are you going to find them opportunities and minutes? And he essentially just echoed exactly what my question was. Funny enough, he was like, you're right. He was like, it is hard to find them opportunities right now because our team is so talented. And it's like, where are you going to sacrifice like time away from Gary Trent Jr. or, you know, to maybe play a Champagne more or something like that, or time away from Fred VanVleet to play a Delano more. Like, it gets a little like dicey there in terms of like development, but this is what the offseason's for, because if they develop really well over the offseason, then, you know, Isaac Bonga, he had a great first half of the season with the Raptors. I thought like the minutes just dwindled as the season went on, because you got to tighten up the bench eventually. And so like there's so many cases of, like that on our team that like it's just the future is very, very promising. And I would say that overall, this season is such a win for the Raptors coming back from Tampa. We came back from Tampa. We drafted the rookie of the year. That's a chip right there. And then on top of
Champagne has been just such a delight to watch anytime we see him on the court. Bonga is like the exact type of player that you like, that the Raptors go after.
It's the mold. Like, exactly.
It's exactly the mold. Utah, someone that I was like one of my favorite players to start the season, and I'm just like, the defense, he gets it. He is someone right away who can slot in and get it, but there just wasn't any minutes for him. We have a lot of talent on this team, and the problem is really finding space to develop these guys, because nobody is there all the way yet except for your top guys, your OGs, your Pascals, your Fred, that aren't going to get their minutes diminished. But everybody else is just looking for a chance, and it's a great place to be if you are the Raptors, that you have just so much talent just waiting to develop and really take a spot on this team. And hopefully, we've seen it before. Hopefully hopefully next season we get a surprise. Can I ask you, just as someone who is a 905 expert, who do you think on the 905 roster, someone who didn't get as many minutes on the Raptors team, and maybe we can close out with this, do you see breaking into the Raptors rotation? Because Nick Nurse does like to play a very tight rotation. Is there someone that you think right now could really break in next season? Delano.
And I've even been to a 905 game where Nick Nurse was like sitting right beside me, and like his commentary on Delano's performance was, he was like, yup, what a tremendous athlete, like just a great kid, whoa, so talented. Like, he was loving like Delano up, and like rightfully so. He every single time Delano is in the G League, he takes control of the game. And so he is definitely going to be, I think, the star to kind of like watch out for next season. And I would say Isaac Bonga as well. Like, Bonga, he's been playing like really, really well. The one thing I will say, just real quick, just because I've been seeing so many comments whenever Speed checks into the game on Twitter. Like, he's the opportunity, the minutes aren't there. And when you are a shooter in general in the game of basketball, you can't just like turn it on like that. Like, you have to like have minutes in order to get warmed up to shoot. And like, a lot of pure shooters in the league are not the best defensive players. And so it's kind of like, you're just understand what you're doing with a type of player like that. So like, that's why I see like all the hate comments come in. I'm like, well, it's not like a magic switch, bro. But yeah,
which
so I would say, like,
so interesting to me that people are like, the Raptors just need more shooters. And it's like, when we get
you actually
shooters,
have one, you don't use them. Like, Matt Thomas is the perfect example too. Like, Matt Thomas, I would say Speed's a better defender than Matt Thomas was.
Yeah,
but like, Matt Thomas was the shooter that would be corner three getting ready, but then the minutes dwindled for him as well, and then eventually he got traded because like, you, if they say that you want a shooter, make sure you're playing them enough minutes to be warm so for when they can shoot, they still step into a game and shoot. But anyways, back to your question, Delano is going to be the
I love that.
The prize pony.
As many 6'9 guys who can handle the ball as possible. It's so much fun to watch. Thank you so much for joining me, Savannah. Thank you to everybody who checked us out. And you know what? Yeah, the Raptors lost and they're out of the playoffs, but this is a fun young team that's only going to grow. And this was a great learning experience for everybody on that roster. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah,
fun. Last show of the season.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.